Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you that we can come and hear your word this evening. And we pray, Lord, that it would be your word speaking to us, not the lips of men, but the lips of God. And that you would show us, Lord, what you would have us to learn this evening, the challenge that you might give us, the blessing that you will give us, the thoughts from your word, Lord, that you would help us in our daily lives to walk in spirit and in truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever been in a really dark place. Tom and Ruth were with us at camp, and we went down the Nenthead Mines, which is up in the just across the middle of the country in the north, between the northeast, well, right in the centre of the north, on the just over from Cumbria there. And we went down the mines, and when we were down the mines, the guy who was guiding us down there switched off the lights, and you should have heard the screams from the children. But you know, it can be very scary in those mines, and I'm sure when the miners were down there mining, when the mines were working, it would have been very frightening at times for them in their work. I wonder if you've ever been in a place and really been worried, really been afraid. Well, I can think back to well over 30 years ago. I'm sorry my illustration is a bit in the past here, but over 30 years ago, I used to go and search the ships in the docks of Liverpool in my job as a customs officer in those days. And I remember going down into the bilges of a ship occasionally. And if any of you know anything about ships, right down where the tanks are, the oil tanks and the water tanks, there are spaces between the tanks so that if one leaks, it will only leak into a space and not contaminate the oil or the water, vice versa. And I used to go down in these in the ships just searching for contraband and whatever. And this space was called a cofferdam. Now, if any of you have ever worked on ships, you might know that. But you know, to get into the cofferdam, you had to take a manhole lid off with about 20 odd nuts. And you'd be there taking all the nuts off with your spanner. And you'd have to take the lid off. And you need to leave the lid off for a while because you need to let the stale air get out before we went down and searched in those spaces. And we always had one of our colleagues standing by the manhole cover for obvious reasons. But very dark inside there and very frightening, a lack of air, a lack of light, and the fear of something going wrong in those spaces. I'm sure you've all faced times when you've been in a dark area. Maybe not so much a physical dark area, but maybe a mental or a spiritual dark area in your life. Well, during the reign of King Zedekiah, that we've just read about in Jeremiah chapter 38, we're going to be focusing on the time when Zedekiah was king of Judah. And he was king under Judah, and Judah was continually under the judgment of sin. The sin of idol worship. You know, there's not a lot changed today, is there? There's lots of idol worship going on in the world today. I mean, I wonder, do you and do I, do we still have idols in our lives? And I don't mean things that we can sit down and bow down or stand up and bow down to worship, but things in our life that come before the Lord himself. Things that take time that shouldn't take time. Things that take priority in our lives that maybe shouldn't take priority. Well, Jeremiah, we've got a couple of tough names here tonight, haven't we? Zedekiah was the king. Jeremiah was God's prophet, living in this area of Judah. And he lived a life of conflict. We read, didn't we, that he was predicting judgment by the invading Babylonians to the land of Judah. And his ministry was there to spur and bless the nation. You know, we read through the scriptures, don't we? And so often we read of God's men bringing the message that people didn't want to hear. Noah was a prime example. And what happened? The flood came. the earth was destroyed, apart from those inside the ark. He was there to spur and bless the nation. But there was only one way in which the nation could be spurred. And it's the same today. There's only one way in which our life of sin, our life of idolatry, whatever it is in our life, there's only one way. And that is by repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, at the very beginning of our meeting, have you repented? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned your back on sin? Have you turned in the opposite direction and faced the Lord and trusted in Him for salvation? Well, if we look back at Jeremiah 35, a few chapters earlier, and verse 17, we read these words. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them. Because, now listen to this, look at this closely. Because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. And I have called to them, but they have not answered. You see, we can only be spared from the judgment of God, from that eternal punishment that the Bible teaches us and warns us of, by repentance and faith. We have to listen. We have to listen to God's word. And God's word tells us that we need to come before our Saviour and ask His forgiveness and ask Him to be our Saviour of our lives. But you see, they didn't even call on Him at all. He has called on them. God is calling on us tonight. Are we listening? Are we answering Him? Well, here we have in the first six verses the description of Jeremiah having been put into that dark pit. Verse 6 tells us that he was put in a pit, a cistern, if you like. And King Zedekiah was on the throne, but he was a very weak king, a puppet king, if you like. He was afraid of his officials. He didn't stop them putting Jeremiah in the pit. Verse 5 tells us that. This pit would be like a real deep cistern, apparently around 13 metres deep, and all of the houses had cisterns so that they wouldn't run out of water at times of war. But there was a drought in the land. There was no water. The cisterns were just mud at the bottom. And Jeremiah was sinking in the mud. He'd been lowered down by ropes into the pit. And when he got to the bottom, he just sunk in the mud. I used to, many years ago, go around Seaforth Sands before the big dock there, the Seaforth Dock, was built. As a child, I used to live not far from Bankhall Mission, down in Bootle there. And I used to remember going on the shore there at Seaforth, and there were sinking sands in those days on the shore. And I remember once or twice being stuck and getting going down a little bit in the sands. But you know, Jeremiah would be in this pit, and all that was there was mire, mud. And he would be sinking, we read, in that mud. You know, all this because of opposition from his own nation. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And doesn't that happen today? Christians are speaking the truth. They're speaking the word of God. There is opposition. You've only got to go onto the Christian Institute website or read their newsletters, and you read of Christians being opposed by others in the world today for standing up for the gospel, telling the truth from the word of God. Opposition from his own nation. He was disliked for his message to them. Noah was disliked for his message. They laughed at him. And yet, when the time came, they were shut out of the ark, and they would have loved to have gone in to that ark at that time. Jeremiah was preaching to those who obey God and surrender and to surrender to the Babylonians. He wanted them to obey God's message and surrender because they would be safe, they would be carried into captivity, and they would live. You see, Jeremiah had been commissioned to preach this truth, verses 2 and 3 here of this passage. And because of the truth, Jeremiah was thrown down a pit and left for dead. You know, they didn't like the message from God. They still had opportunity to save their lives by listening and obeying that word of God. I wonder tonight, have you not taken the opportunity of listening to God's word? Have you not taken that opportunity of obeying God's word and coming to Him in faith? Jeremiah might be imprisoned, but his message was the same. The same as the message that we have today, that Jesus Christ needs to be listened to. God Himself needed to be listened to. And yet the people opposed, just as people do today. And Zedekiah's princes, they marked Jeremiah as a traitor. They didn't believe him to be a prophet of God. They wanted him killed for telling them the truth. So much like it is today. Your mind is brought back, isn't it, to the scriptures in the New Testament. The Jews disbelieving in Christ as the Messiah. The Jews wanting him killed. The Romans, all of those people at Calvary, putting him on the cross because they didn't believe the truth. And it appears that the princes had begun to take over the reins of the government. Because Zedekiah here, what does he say in verse 5? He says, you handle this. The princes, you handle it. It's out of my hands. Does that remind us of the one at the trial of Jesus, Pilate himself? And he washed his hands of the situation and asked the people to choose who they wanted to be crucified. You don't need to turn to it, but the words of Jeremiah are spoken in Lamentations, chapter 3, and we read these words, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. Do not fear. You see, Jeremiah called out to God. Jonah called out to God from the depths of the pit inside the belly of that great fish. And God answered. And God answered Jeremiah, as we see in a moment. You know, these verses in Lamentations would probably be the description of what was happening in the pit as Jeremiah wrote those words. He was helpless, but he knew God was still with him. And that message that he gave, do not fear. Do not fear. I wonder tonight, do we fear something in our lives? Are we facing trials, facing troubles, and we fear the things that are about, that we think, to happen? What if? That's a famous phrase, isn't it? What if? What if this is going to happen? So often we do that, don't we? But you know, we ought not to fear. We need to call out to God in times of need. But not just in times of need, we need to call on Him daily, don't we, for our strength and for our help as we seek to serve Him in our lives as Christians together. You know, God never leaves His people. And Jeremiah knew that God was still with him. What are you going through? Is it tough? Well, we often sing that chorus, don't we? When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Are we fixing our eyes upon Him tonight for all that we need? Well, we read on in verses 7 to 13 that Jeremiah was completely helpless. He'd be cold. He'd be in the dark. He'd be all alone. The prospects of starving and dying a slow death unless somebody found him. or God did something for him. Well, there's many things we can think of being in that pit. Somebody trapped down a pothole maybe, or a mine shaft. And here was Jeremiah down this pit. But you know, God intervened. Intervened for Jeremiah. His own people hated him, thinking he was a traitor for what he was preaching, and they wanted him killed. But just look at verse 7 of chapter 38. Now, Ebed-Melech, I'm sorry, but we've got another difficult name. We've got Jeremiah and Zedekiah, but now we have Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, he went out and spoke to the king. Spoke on behalf of Jeremiah. You see, in steps a saviour, if you like. Ebed-Melech, a saviour. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. His name actually means servant of a king. And there he was, working in the king's house. We read about that earlier. And he heard about them putting Jeremiah in this pit. Do you know, he was a complete stranger to Jeremiah. Didn't know him. Had no knowledge of him at all. But he was a very decisive and caring and loving man. And he went to the king and he pleaded on behalf of Jeremiah. Pleaded for help. You know, Jesus was the saviour who stepped in to this world. Just like Ebed-Melech did here, only much more in a way that we would be saved. Not just by helping one man, but by helping all those who would come and believe and accept the gospel of Jesus. He stepped in on our behalf. When we were lost, we were in our darkness, we were in our sin. And it appears here that the famine was widespread at this time. The people had to eat whatever they could find. No one would go and put some food into the pit of Jeremiah. In that dungeon, they didn't have enough for themselves. And you know, Jesus himself emptied himself, didn't he, for us. Came to this world with that sole purpose of offering us salvation by his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross. And here we have this slave, Ebed-Melech, interceding with the king for Jeremiah's life. He was brave because the people, the officials, would be really on him if they found out what was happening. But he was there and he calls Jeremiah a prophet, it says in verse 9. He recognized he was a man of God. He didn't know him, but he knew he was a man of God. And Jeremiah was not in the pit because of his sin. We were in the pit because of our sin. And yet Jesus interceded as a servant for us. Remember the verses in Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8, which say, But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, Christ paid the price for our sin. Jeremiah wasn't in the pit because of his sin. He was in the pit for telling the truth, for preaching the word. You see, God was in control. God had his man, Ebed-Melech, stepping in on Jeremiah's behalf to the king. God is in control. Is he in control of our lives? Is he the one in whom we turn to in every situation? We need to ask ourselves tonight, are we his? Do we belong to Christ? The king offered help. He told Ebed-Melech to take from his courtyard there, 30 men, and lift Jeremiah, the prophet, out of the dungeon. Verse 10 tells us that. What a task that would be to get Jeremiah, if he was sinking in this 13 metre deep pit, probably down to his waist, maybe getting to his chest height, I don't know, it doesn't tell us. But he tells us here that he was to get these 30 men. So it must have been some task if he needed 30 men to pull out this mud-soaked man from that cistern. So heavy, having to lift him straight up. And in verse 11 we read that Jeremiah in that pit was given some help. Ebed-Melech went into the treasury, under the treasury, and took some old clothes and old rags. And he let them down into the dungeon so that Jeremiah could put these old clothes under the ropes, between his arms and the ropes, just to save his arms being really torn, ripped. And the ropes were put there to pull him up. And then these rags under the ropes to save cutting into that flesh. And the whole of his body weight would be resting on them. I think this shows a real affection that this man Ebed-Melech had for Jeremiah. He was a caring man, a loving man, but he was God's man in this situation. And you know, Jeremiah was then pulled up from the pit. We see in verse 13 the results. And Ebed-Melech presents a wonderful lesson on Christian sympathy to us here by this message. And there's a great example here of what really is described, I think, in Romans chapter 12. If you want to turn to that, verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. Otherwise, just listen. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honour, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You see, that's the example of the Christian, having sympathy for those who are in need. And just look at this man, Ebed-Melech, the man with a strange name. And just contemplate the beauty of Christian sympathy and humility. You know, this man had great humanity. During this time, life was cheap, getting cheaper. Slaves had been kept contrary to the law in Judah. There was no respect for human life. Does that remind you of what's happening in our world today as well? And however, Ebed-Melech knew that people were important. He knew that Jeremiah was important. He'd heard that he was a prophet. Life was valuable. It is today, isn't it? A basic feature of every Christian ought to be this respect for the value of humanity. We are to be compassionate, sympathetic, and benevolent to everyone. Galatians 6 tells us to do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And here was Ebed-Melech doing good to the household of faith, to Jeremiah, the prophet of God. So Ebed-Melech had great humanity. He also had great courage. His rescue of Jeremiah would definitely be an unpopular action amongst the people, amongst those officials who had put him in the dungeon in the first place. And even though he had asked Zedekiah and persuaded the king's permission, it was still very risky with his officials around. Some might possibly even accuse Ebed-Melech of treason. Verse 4 of chapter 38 tells us that, indicates that. And it appears that the Ethiopian refused to let men frighten him. He refused to be put off by that. He was strong. He was of great courage. He also had a great influence, because this example urges Christians today to develop a good reputation, so that when certain ones are thrown into pits of despair, if you like, those who are living on the streets. We had a man sitting in the bus stop outside, Mark knows the bus stop, right outside the cafe. And he sat in that bus stop from 11 o'clock in the morning till we were locked up at about 4:30 on Friday. Number of times I went out and spoke with him. But you know, these people are in despair, and they need rescuing. We must believe and behave as Christ gave us that example. We must believe that we need to do that. And we need to respect the things that are going on in the world and try and do what God wants us to do. We need to be a help to rescue people, not just with the physical, but to bring them the gospel and share the good news of Christ. That's what Ebed-Melech did. He was trying to enable Jeremiah to continue with his message. He was also a man of great faith. We may not see that at the beginning, but his faith is implied. Verse 18 of chapter 39, the next chapter, we see that he befriended Jeremiah. And it tells us in that verse 18 of 39 that he trusted the Lord. Trusted in the Lord. And he also was a man who had a great service. And what greater service is there than sharing the gospel, helping to rescue people from the depths of despair, from the pits of despair? You know, after being rescued from the pit, they still did not release Jeremiah. He was still there. He was in minimum security, but still locked up. The court of the prison was near the king's house, we read. You see, God was actually protecting Jeremiah here. God cares for his people, even when we go through rough times, even when we think there's nothing that we can do. You know, God can. God can do things for us. He never lets us suffer more than we can bear. The Christian life isn't easy, is it? We know that. It's not an easy life. There will be difficulties. There will be problems. He never promised us that we would have an easy life, an easy road. But he has promised us that he'll be with us. And he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Where did Jeremiah end up? Still in this prison. In this security here in the king's courtyard. This was all part of God's protection. You see, Jeremiah now was being fed regularly. God cares for his people, but he doesn't stop the nasty things from happening to us. He wants us to trust him more when the things like that do happen. It's all part of sanctification, isn't it? Growing in Christ. You know, we should always think back to the times and remember the times how God has helped us in the past. I'm sure you can testify tonight how God has stepped in and helped you, helped me in our times of need. We should think back, praise God for that, and look to him to do the same again as we grow in him. And when you find it difficult to follow Jesus, then just remember those times. Don't just give up, but draw close to him. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death." That's the challenge, that's the command of God. Be faithful until death. "And I will give you the crown of life. that crown of life, that eternal life, that blessing that God will give us one day with Him. Well, my time's almost gone. I just round off by saying that we read on and we see what actually happened. Well, first of all, what sort of king was Zedekiah? He was a weak king, but at least he did assist, didn't he? He allowed Jeremiah to go and get the men he needed, to get the clothes that he needed, to save the flesh of his arms being torn apart by the ropes. And you know, he challenged Zedekiah again. Verse 20. He wanted Zedekiah to surrender. Jeremiah preached again, so that his life would be spared as well. And he gives Zedekiah a promise that he would not be turned over to the Jews if he surrendered. You see, we need to obey the Lord's voice, and we will live. We shall live eternally if we trust in Him. We need to come to Christ and live. There's a lovely verse in 1 John 5, isn't there, that tells us that he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Is your life got a purpose tonight? Is your life living for Christ? Do you have the Son of God in your life tonight? Zedekiah wanted to hear God's word, but he rejected it again. The friends that Zedekiah had believed convinced him not to surrender to the Babylon. He had listened to them instead of to Jeremiah. And you know, God's word was to surrender. Surrender. And his answer for rejection was calamity for Jerusalem. In verse 23, we read of that. I wonder, are we rejecting God's word tonight? Or are we surrendering our lives to Him? What will the result be for us if we reject God's word? God had promised Jeremiah that he would see the fall of Jerusalem. And he did just that. Jeremiah was kept safe by God. And he lived to see his own prophecy fulfilled. We read on in chapters 38 and 39. Read it when you get home and see what happened. The Babylonians came and they besieged Jerusalem. And the walls fell. But God kept Jeremiah safe in all of this, because he trusted in God. And if you read on, you will see that the cruel things that really happened to Zedekiah, and yet God still protected Jeremiah. Well, living for God can be tough, can't it? Tough. Every day we have challenges. You know, but God is always with us. He's always caring for us. Are we living for Him? Are we knowing that He'll always be with us? Do we know that? Do we experience that in our lives? Or would we rather just live for ourselves and be without God? Just as I draw close, just want to read a couple of verses. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. I wonder tonight, do those verses, are they real to you? Have you set your feet upon that rock which is Jesus? Has He taken you up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, as Jeremiah was lifted out of the clay, out of the mire, out of that mud, and went on, carried on serving God? We ought to be like that. We ought to set our feet on that rock that is Christ. And that we must have a new song in our mouths. Praise to our God for all that He's done for us. And fear the Lord in the right way. Trust Him in all that we do. And our challenge tonight is, do we? Do we do that? You need to know him first as your Saviour. If there's anyone here tonight who's never experienced sins forgiven, then turn to Christ, repent, and live as we've been thinking of this evening.